come. It's a package deal. I'm sorry. I didn't make it up. You know, when I buy a car, when we bought our Nissan minivan, you know, I really wanted those DVD things in there. But, I'm sorry, not the DVD things. I didn't want the DVD things in there. I really wanted the skylights in the top of the van, but you couldn't order it separate. In order to get that, you had to buy the whole $10,000 upgrade that included the DVDs and all the other stuff. You can't order that a la carte. Same thing in Scripture, man. It's one thing. So, what did the apostles, who told us what Jesus said, have to say about homosexuality? Let's look at Romans 1, 24 to 27. I would highly recommend, we don't have time today, I highly recommend read the entire first chapter of Romans. It is really explicit, and it talks about the sequence of things that happen when people reject the revelation of God. The synopsis is basically this. I don't have time to explain. I got to sum up. So, the synopsis is basically this. There is evidence. God has left evidence and a testimony of himself in the earth, in all of creation, in the physical world, and also in our own hearts. Even the testimony of our conscience bears witness to God. All around us and inside of us, there is evidence of his existence. But because people hardened their hearts against what was evident about the knowledge of God, because they were not thankful to him and did not worship him as God, God finally just basically gave them up to their own sin. They didn't want to keep God in their mind, so God didn't bother them with himself anymore. He gave them up to the hardness of their hearts and let them have the depraved pleasures that they were looking for. That's basically a summation of Romans chapter 1. But let's look at these particular verses that are in question, because there's a lot of controversy about this in the world today. Romans chapter 1, verses 24 to 27, Paul says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their heart, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Verse 26, for this reason God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. I think it's kind of straightforward. What do you guys think? Like Jenny said, I didn't make this up. Pretty straightforward. People harden their hearts against the knowledge of God, which was readily apparent to all, so God let them have their way. He gave them over to their sins, to vile passions and a depraved mind. Women with women. Men with men. What could be hard to understand? Well, the problem is when people live by the flesh rather than by the Spirit, when people live by human wisdom, man's wisdom, rather than God's wisdom, they will do mental gymnastics to rationalize away what is obvious. We mentioned the word sophistry last week. Sophistry means to build up a massive house of cards, this massive, elaborate, all the way around the barn argument using complex thoughts and abstract ideas as though it's full of sound and fury, as though it were very powerful, and yet really it's a house of cards. And when you simply take the card away from the foundation, the entire thing collapses. Don't be impressed by lots of words and big complex ideas. A lot of times it's simply an attempt to cover up the obvious by confusing you. Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit. James said the wisdom that comes from above is peaceful, gentle, easily entreated, full of good fruits and without hypocrisy. That's the wisdom to lay a hold of. You have to listen with your spirit, not with your human carnal intellect. I'm not talking about putting away reason or rationale. God made us intelligent. He made us to think, but He doesn't want us to be ruled by human wisdom. He wants our wisdom to be in submission to the Spirit. That's the essence of New Testament Christianity, living by the Spirit and gaining understanding through our spirit, because we are comparing spiritual things with spiritual. The natural mind of man does not receive the things of God. It's an enmity with God. All right. What gay theologians have said about this passage is that God is not talking about gay people here. Kid you not. As God is my witness, and I don't do that casually. That's what they said. Not talking about gay people here. Okay. I'm glad you asked, brother. What they say is that he's talking here about straight people who have decided to have gay sex. Okay.
Where is that?
Against their natural desires. Their natural desires is for the opposite sex. However, they decided to have gay sex instead, and that was an abomination before God. So while it's okay, and this is what they say, it's okay for gays to have gay sex, God condemns straight people who have gay sex against their nature or against their natural desires. Do you believe me? That's what they say. Do you believe me? Why would they do that? By the way, let me just this is not urban legend. Let me give you the citation. Professor John Boswell, professor of history at Yale University, according to the website standtoreason.org, STR.org. Okay?
So he's still living in the ivory tower, though.
Yes. Yes. By the way, Jenny studied intensely evolutionary biology in the university. She knows what she's talking about. I love that, man. I love that. Yeah. to know from both sides of the fence. Yeah. Praise God. And by the way, homosexuality doesn't even fit the design of evolution, because they would not be the strongest of the species. They would not be. How do they survive? They don't reproduce.
Exactly.
It flies in the face of everything that Darwin postulated. Okay, anyway. Getting off the track here. Okay. John Boswell, professor of history, and others like Daniel Helminiak, professor of another university that I can't remember the name of, said that this is not about gays. This is about straight people who decided to have gay sex. Okay? And God had a big problem with that. Well, actually, I have a problem with that. So let me enumerate some of the objections that I have to that interpretations of Romans 1. Number one, if it's wrong, and this is what is being taught. This is the main argument against Romans chapter 1, conservative argument. Number one, if it's wrong for people to go against their natural desires, if that is wrong, if God has a problem with you having some other kind of sex other than with people who you are naturally attracted to, what about gays who have heterosexual sex? What about if a gay has relations with a straight person? Does God also have a problem with that? It has to cut in both directions. If they're saying God has a problem with you going against your, leaving behind your natural desire, it has to cut in both directions. Then he also would have a problem with a gay person having a heterosexual sexual relationship. If that's so, why did not Paul condemn that in the same passage? Why didn't he say, and by the way, these men who were burning in their lust for women, who were actually gay, should have known better, and God judged them and gave them over to their vile passions. In fact, to carry it out further, why is there not a single verse in the entirety of Scripture where God, who obviously had a huge problem with this thing, said to gay people, don't have sex with straight people? I've read the Bible. It ain't in there. I know of a lot of people who have read it a lot more than I have. It's not in there. There is nowhere, ever, anywhere in the Word of God where God tells gay people you are not to have a heterosexual relationship. However, you will find it from cover to cover where He tells all people not to engage in homosexual sex. Does that make sense? If I'm out in left field, okay, but I think it makes sense to me. The reason it's not anywhere in the Bible is because it's not true. Number two, my second objection. When you look at this scripture, go ahead and leave it up there. Yeah. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. Okay? Number two, if they burned in passion for each other. By the way, what does that mean, to burn in passion for one another? You think your clothes catch fire or something? You know? Yeah. Hate when that happens. Spontaneously combusted. What does that mean? Oh, man, just consumed. What is... Okay, let's... Okay, I think we know the obvious. If men burned in passion for each other, how do you know what their natural desire was? If these professors are right and they say, well, their natural desire was for women, but they slept with men instead, I don't know, it sounds to me like they burned in passion for each other. Sounds like to me they wanted what they were getting. So if that's what they wanted, if you burn passionately for something, would you say then that that's your natural desire? Anybody?
Yeah.
So how do they know that their natural desire was actually for somebody else? It says here they burned in passion for each other. That's my second problem. Number three, I'm getting to the end. I'm almost there. Bear with me. Number three, this passage doesn't say, and this is so important because it just pulls the card out from the bottom of the stack from the house of cards. This passage does not say that men and women left their natural desire for anybody. What does it say? It says they exchanged the natural use or function, the natural use or function for what was unnatural. In other words, men are designed for women.
Yay.
That's a good thing.
I think so.
Women are designed for men. You don't have to look very far to discover that. At the risk of stating the obvious. Am I really? You know, you always turn red when somebody says that, whether you are or not. He didn't say they left their natural desire, their natural attraction. He said they left the natural use or function for a function or use that was unnatural. It doesn't matter what their natural desire is. The question is, what is God's design? And it flows from the context. Men are designed for women. Women are designed for men. Okay, I don't want to take that too far down there. But it's what's interesting as a theologian to me is when you look at the context of this whole passage, you see, and starting from, that's why I said read the whole chapter, and from chapter, the whole of chapter 1, that's exactly in context what is stated over and over and over, that dynamic. What was clearly evident. Is it clearly evident that men are designed for women? Yes. Pretty clear. Vice versa. What was clearly evident to men because of the hardness of their hearts, they rejected from God, and so God gave them over. What was clearly evident in verses 24 to 27, that there is a natural use, a natural function, what is clearly evident to anybody who bothers to investigate, they nevertheless rejected the clear evidence and testimony of God in favor for something else that was unnatural. That is the entire flow of the context. You can't simply, and Daniel Helminiak, this other professor, tries to take that passage out of context and say, well, that's what it meant here, and that's what it meant here, but that's not really what it was doing over here. Horrible hermeneutics, you know, whatever. Anyway, it flows from the context. It's clear what God's design is unless you harden your heart to it. It's clear God's purpose and design unless you harden your heart to it. We must be vigilant that we don't harden our heart against the things of God, lest God give us over to what we demand and we find to our horror that we then cannot escape from that, that we are hopelessly entwined in that and in all of the destruction that it brings. And our world is full of people who are horribly enslaved by the things that they demanded and eventually got. God gave them over to it. All right, final part. What else did the apostles say? There's two passages. I'll close with this. There's two passages. They're kind of sister passages. They go along with each other. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11 and 1 Timothy 1, 8 to 11. Okay. 1 Corinthians 1, 6, 9 to 11. Do you not know? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor the thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I love verse 11. I love it. I love it. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God.